Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues, the name of the program here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl is in studio with us now.
He is.
And Ray Pritchard joins us. Ray co-hosts with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Ray is the founder and president of Keep Believing Ministries, and Ray is in Kansas City, Kansas. We're in Tupelo, Mississippi. We're not on a border like Kansas, like Kansas City is. What? How many? Do more people live in the Missouri part or the Kansas City? Kansas
I think
part?
About 75% live in the Missouri side, and maybe 25%, the as Kansas would say, the enlightened ones live on the Kansas side. So, and it's really kind of funny because you're just driving, Walker. You're driving down a street, and one block's in Kansas, the other's Missouri. You hardly know. You've gone from one to the other.
But hey, at least it's not a time zone deal.
That's right. Yeah, thank goodness.
Oh, man.
That'd be a mess.
Because, Alice and I were talking, my wife and I were talking about that. So there, I don't know if I can name a particular Chattanooga. I wonder if Chattanooga's, it's Eastern time zone.
It's close. Huh? It's right above it's the Alabama, Georgia.
But what if you work 25 miles from Chattanooga and then you had to change time zones every day?
Yeah.
That would be hard.
Would your boss accept it as an excuse that you came an hour late? That's the real question.
You got to get up an hour earlier to get to work, but you get home an hour earlier. So, I was reading something, gentlemen. Steve, I'd like you to comment on this.
Sure.
I don't know if this is a part of your story stack there that we discussed this morning, but I just saw a story on the Fox News website where Nancy Pelosi – and again, folks, I apologize for bringing her name up again so early in the morning here for a lot of people on the West Coast in particular, although they admire her in California. Nancy Pelosi is who wants to be Speaker of the House.
They're going to have that election after Thanksgiving.
Okay. According to Fox News, there's a revolt brewing against her as rebellious House Democrats refuse support or speaker bid. Now, is this a serious challenge to Nancy Pelosi? Do you know, Steve?
Well, the numbers are growing. Every time for the last two or three Congresses, at least, where she's been either speaker or minority leader, she's faced some opposition. It keeps growing. She's got a lot of. She's been there a long time, and she knows where all the bodies are buried. And my gut sense is that she's going to be able to politic her way through. And
well, she has a very strong power base that she's built up.
Yeah.
And I read the story. I would say this is like a lot of news, a little bit sensational, because they can only cite 17 Democrats who have signed a letter. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So this is not.
If it were in the Senate, that would be different because there's only.
Yeah.
40 or 50 of each party, but 17 out of 225.
Yeah. This is you far, 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 far left crowd is who this is. And they're, Nancy Pelosi's a rabid conservative to them. So they want her out. You're going to have to give me more than 17 names on a letter.
Yeah.
There'd be a serious challenge to the speaker.
Yeah. And I think there are more than 17 that have campaigned. And this is the thing. We saw this in the Senate with one of the new senators that just came to the Democrat House.
Sinema.
It was
Kristen Sinema.
Kristen Sinema.
From Arizona.
She campaigned saying that she was not going to vote for Chuck Schumer as the minority leader in the Senate. That was a strong campaign point. The very first thing she does when she gets to Washington, she votes for Chuck Schumer to be minority leader in the Senate. Right. So, what happens back home and what happens in Washington sometimes are a little bit disparate, I should say.
if it weren't Nancy Pelosi, Steve, then who would be, if they were going to go further left, who would be their candidate?
I don't know. I don't know the serious name of that. Does the article you're reading there?
Castro from Cuba.
Cuba. Castro. You know that what I, okay. You know what I, okay. Ray, do you know what I found out? They're saying you do not have to be a member of Congress to be Speaker of the House. Did you know that?
Say what?
You do not have to be a member of Congress to be Speaker of the House.
Right.
You could pick anybody you want.
Anybody at all. Mm-hmm. Kind of like you don't have to be a lawyer to be on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, because I remember after John Boehner retired, they were talking about Newt Gingrich or someone like that. Now, he's been a Speaker, but he's not a member of Congress now.
Right. But they could get anybody they want. So, you know, it could be Gavin Newsom or... Who knows? But I don't know who the leading candidates are. I'm sorry, Tim, that I didn't.
That's part of one of the reasons why Nancy's going to win, because they're not even organized enough to have somebody, a real name, to put up against her, right?
Right. None of the leadership, current leadership of the House, I don't think, is going to come against her. It's not like we had with the Republicans with Jordan. Putting up he's in leadership and he put up a challenge to McCarthy. But no, I don't know the depth chart there, as it were. And here's one thing I can tell you is that after her first day in office, it's pretty much not going to be Ocasio-Cortez. After the first thing she does is protest in Nancy Pelosi's office. So, yeah, I don't know the answer to that, Tim. I'll look it up for you. We'll have it tomorrow.
Disappointing, Steve. That's why you're here.
I'll have it Monday.
Give us answers like that. But anyway, if you do your homework and give us Monday.
I will. I will let you know.
Next story.
Let's talk about there's some judges that are up for debate. This is kind of breaking news. We have a couple tweets out. I have a tweet from Jeff Flake, one of our favorite Republican senators. He says, I have informed the majority leader that I will not vote to advance any of the 21 judicial nominees pending in the Judiciary Committee or vote to confirm the 32 judges awaiting action on the floor unless the Mueller protection bill is brought to the full Senate for a vote. Now, the Republicans have an 11-10 advantage on the Judiciary Committee. This is in the lame duck Congress before they're hoping to get this done before January. And a 51-49 advantage on the floor, so that he serves on both. If Flake was to pull his support, it would be hard to get him out of committee, much less through the Senate.
This is a problem with lame duck sessions, is many of the Congress members, or sometimes even the president, there's no political capital at stake. You can do virtually whatever you want.
Especially with Flake, who's not going to be coming
back.
There's
reputation consequences of how you'll be remembered when you're retired.
Right.
But Jeff Flake can do what he wants, and he doesn't have to answer to the voters in Arizona or the voters anywhere else.
Yeah. I thought you were...
Is he worried that Robert Mueller's going to be fired by President Trump or his acting attorney general?
That's what they're worried. They're worried that Trump is going to fire Mueller.
So he says.
And Jeff Flake is among those that he's an ever-Trumper. That's why he's leaving the Senate. And
I think Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, says there's no evidence to support the idea that the president's going to fire Robert Mueller, or he would. I'm not going to.
That's what he's been saying, but I don't know how.
Oh, but
much
Jeff Flake is saying. I'm going to do what I want to do, and if we can't pass legislation protecting Mueller, although that's a constitutional question, right? Really, the president has the authority to fire special counsel if he wants to. So what is – I don't know what this legislation would say.
Well, it would – according to Jeff Flake, the senator, it would turn over whether Mueller's legitimate or not over to a judge. And a judge would decide whether Mueller could keep his job or not. So it basically put part of the executive branch under a judge, a three-judge panel.
It would
be constitutional challenges. They can also, and I don't know, you probably know what the bill is specifically, but they can also pass a sense, it is the sense of the Senate, that type bill.
Yeah. I personally don't like the tit-for-tat politics that I'm going to hold up half the country's judges
right.
for one issue that I'm really concerned about. Right. Because imagine if everyone did that. Yeah. Imagine if right. every senator and every congressman said, if I don't get my local bill done that funds my local blah, 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 then I'm not, you know what, I'm just not going to show up and we're just not going to get anything done.
You know, for all the criticism of President Trump by Republicans and Democrats, you know, they'll say, well, he's petty, right? And I'm not going to argue that at
times... President Trump
yeah,
is petty?
Yeah, and I'm not going to argue that at times he is petty, in my mind. But so are they. You know, this is an example that Senator Flake is being a baby here, and he's sticking it to Trump. You know, before he goes home to Arizona, it's petty. Now, it's a big deal on one hand because he's holding up federal judges potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of the big reasons people elected the president. He's saying, Walker, if I don't get my way on a one particular issue having to do with the special investigation by Robert Mueller into Donald Trump collusion with the Russians, then I'm not going to vote for any of his judges. So I will
say that in a way.
I would say, you know, if you want to do that after the fact, maybe I would consider that a little bit better. In other words, if Jeff Flake wanted to say, well, listen, if in fact President Trump does fire the special prosecutor, then I'll protest with my votes about his judges. You see what I'm saying? Maybe I'd have a little bit more, quote, respect for that, but preemptively say this. Jeff Flake just can't help himself. He just wants to get at President Trump because he and President Trump got something personal going on when did this start, Walker?
Back during the campaign, during the 2016 campaign, they went back and forth. Jeff Flake was, of course, an ever-Trumper, hasn't liked him since then.
Okay. Anyway, next story, Steve.
Let's get an update on the fires in California. The Camp Fire up in Northern California is now 40% contained as of this morning. It has torched nearly 8,800 homes. Including almost the entire town of Paradise. It has gotten 260 businesses. It's killed 56 people. And the Woolsey Fire down in L.A., the one that you were talking with Ray Comfort about, that's close to him, has claimed 504 houses, 96 businesses, and it is 57 contained, and there's two people that have died in that blaze that they know so far. They expect the numbers up north to go up. I'm going to be talking this afternoon with a pastor in Paradise. Well, he's not in Paradise now. He's in Chico, but pastors in Paradise. We're going to be following them on One News Now for the next couple months. We're going to just kind of check in every so often to see how he's doing and how the church is faring up there and what the church is doing to kind of keep the community together. It's a story that we're going to be following. So there is that.
Ray, do you have any family or friends out in California?
Got a lot of friends out in California, and some of them, right near where those, particularly in Southern California, no more folks in the L.A. area. And I'm thinking, Walker, these videos, and some of the most dramatic videos have been people just holding up their cell phones, right? Mm. And that woman driving through the fire. And some of those videos look like you're driving through the suburbs of hell.
Yeah.
It's the flames above you, seemingly beneath you, in front of you, and behind you, and the suffocating smoke. It's hard to imagine a more terrifying scenario. We were talking the other day about how fast the winds, when they're really up, are blowing that, 50, 80 acres a minute. So if you don't get out at the first moment, you're going to be trapped there. So mm-hmm. Most people, I would think, who've gone through this never have experienced anything like this before. And I guess because of cell phones now, we're being that kind of video and drone footage, we're being brought right into the middle of it. It's amazing and terrifying, the power of these wildfires.
It is indeed. We're hearing from people, and I have a little bit of sound from some people that survived this. I don't know that this is – I could say that this is typical. The three people that you're going to hear are fairly upbeat at this point. The grieving process has a lot of turns and twists, and so I'm not saying that this is where everybody is, but this is a couple of survivors that they've talked to on the news. It's cut three.
I had one morning where I just kind of broke down and cried, which was yesterday morning, but for the most part, I'm going to keep a smile on my face. I feel stronger now than I probably have felt in years, even in the middle of all this stuff.
I feel very fortunate to have a van. I look at other people, the car and kids, and I feel like I'm driving around in a hotel.
It's nice because we are a lot closer right now, and spending more time together for sure, you know.
Looking on the bright side, the cup half full for some people there. Mm-hmm. I was privileged, but I rode along with some Franklin Graham's rescue. Franklin Graham often sends teams in from his Samaritan's Purse type. They have a disaster mm-hmm. relief. And they came into Colorado Springs when right after they had had a fire. And what they did was they went around. The fire officials let them in behind the lines where they were. This was after the fire had passed, where they were allowing families to go in and see if their houses survived and what they could find. And their ministry was they go up, they present these people with a Bible, because probably theirs, if they had one, was gone. And they would sit and help them sift through the burned-out rubble. And they'd sift and look for rings or jewelry or what might have survived the blaze. And this was the ministry they did in the name of Jesus. And I got to tell you, it was inspiring to see the courage of the people who had been burned out of their homes and the ministry that was able to go on mm-hmm. in a time of trouble. It really is. So I'm looking forward to connecting with this pastor and following him a little bit as it goes along.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. By the way, you've heard the announcement, I'm sure, my announcement about the 2019 Spiritual Heritage Tours. We fill up several months in advance for these tours, and I know a lot of people plan their calendar for their vacation time. For example, you start planning now for next year, and I just wanted to make you aware, everybody listening, that all the information on the June and September tours to Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown, and then also to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. Those are two separate tours. If you want to go on one or both of them in June or September, everything's posted now. You can sign up now if you want to at spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, those tours fill up 3 to 4 months in advance, so I know you want to go with us, you want the information, the cost, the itinerary, the dress code, whatever you want to know there, you can go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Steve?
We're learning more every day about how the Democrats, what their agenda is once they get to Congress. And one of the things that they are pushing in the House, they say they are going to revive and put up for a vote a bill they're calling the Do No Harm Act. It's H.R. 3222, and it is basically an amendment to the Religious Freedom Protection Act, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 that President Clinton signed. And this is a direct response to the Masterpiece Cake decision and the Hobby Lobby decision at the Supreme Court. What this bill says is that you cannot use your faith as an excuse not to participate in gay weddings, for example, or other things that you have.
You must be compelled to do so.
That's right. It would reverse both the Supreme Court's Masterpiece case and Hobby Lobby case. Hobby Lobby, of course, was the case where that store was forced to carry abortifacient drugs in their insurance plan against their religious beliefs.
This is to me a strike down the First Amendment of the United States bill. Now, okay, what we're talking about here, folks, and this is extremely serious.
Yes.
Okay, this is extremely serious. What we're talking about is, let me see that. What we're talking about is here, the Democrats. I hope there's no Republicans on here. The Democrats, some of the Democrats, let me just say that, not all, but some of the Democrats in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C.
A good percentage of them.
Really?
Okay. Well, they're now how many 172 now.
Then the vast majority.
Yeah.
Right.
The vast majority of Democrats, this is how crazy left these people have gotten. What they want to do, they want to pass a law, and don't they name it? They name it the...
Equality?
Do no harm somewhere.
It's the religion...
amend it.
Go ahead, Walker.
It's come under different names. Some call it the Equality Act. Some call it the Do No Harm Act.
Okay, the Do No Harm Act. Okay, this is... Boy, they name these things.
They do.
They have great names for these things. So, but what they want to do, folks, with this act, this is about the furthest they've pushed the LGBTQ movement, the Democrats. What they want to do is say to all Americans, so this would be a federal law that they want to see passed, they want to say to all Americans, you are hereby now compelled to disregard, if you are a person of the Islamic faith, for example, or the Christian faith, or the Jewish faith, or any faith at all that views homosexuality as immoral, you can't use that as a reason to not do business with gays. Okay, so for instance, the Jack Phillips case in Colorado, your friend, the gentleman you know, who's the baker.
Yep.
And he was given a victory at the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, no, you can't compel Colorado, a Christian man, to do a same-sex wedding if it violates his conscience, his religious convictions. You can't compel him to. You can go somewhere else. But you can't make a man do that. Again, keep in mind, folks, we're not talking about denying services or denying... in other words, Jack Phillips didn't question people when they came into his bakery going, hey, you gay? Out of here.
No.
That's what they want you to believe happens.
Right.
Jack Phillips doesn't do that. He just simply said a marriage ceremony is something that is an institution of God, and I can't participate in that. But the state of Colorado said, oh, yeah, you will.
Yeah.
You will, or we'll put you out of business if we have to. And the Supreme Court gave him relief. So I'm just saying that the Democrats want to do away with any protections for people like Jack Phillips and force all Americans. It's probably worse than that, but I'm just giving you one example of what this law would do. So this needs to be defeated, but this goes to show you where the Democratic Party is. Mm-hmm. That's one step away, Ray. We got a minute left. This is one step away from compelling the church to do away with its doctrine regarding human sexuality.
One short step.
Isn't it?
One short step, Tim, yeah. We are the holdouts, right?
Yeah.
We who believe the Bible, we are the holdouts who have to be crushed and defeated somehow, some way.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it today. If this bill passed, guess who's next?
If this continues on, in 5 to 10 years from now, we'll be sitting here talking about how the Democrats have passed a law saying that the Christian teaching about homosexuality is outlawed. And if you teach that, you'll be jailed or imprisoned or fined or your whatever. I'm serious. People think, well, that's nuts. That'll never happen. Well, if this is not stopped, it will.
Right.
Because this is where they're headed.
Right.
Because they believe that view of human sexuality is discriminatory.
Yes.
Okay. Steve, I know you had much more news.
No,
that's okay. Thank you for what you're able to bring to the table today.
My pleasure.
Ray, thank you.
Thank you, Tim. And glad to do it.
Walker?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Our thanks to Adam Suddeth for running the controls for us today. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Hey, Trivia Friday tomorrow. We'll see you back here then.